Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're getting this rolling here tonight, and I love that spot coming in tonight. Fred Fowler was in skinny jeans today. That must have been a sight around here at the ESPN 97.5 studios. All right, the good news is here. We're going to do a lot of Dynamo talk here concerning the playoffs here with Sporting Kansas City. Game Thursday night. It's a game you can catch on the Cube. You can join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself for the call of that game. Better yet, get over to HoustonDynamo.com, get your tickets. The Dynamo got it all done. Mission accomplished for the manager, Wilmer Cabrera. Set out a very ambitious plan for the Chicago game to finish off the season. Number one, he wanted to rest players. He continued the rotation policy. So he rested guys like Ricardo Clark. He rested guys like DeMarcus Beasley. He rested, for the most part, Albert Elise, who was a second-half sub. So he got that part of it. He's freshened up his team. But he also got what was a critical win over Chicago, which flipped the position in the standings from 5-4. So the Dynamo now have a home field game on Thursday, which very vital because the Dynamo have not been good on the road this year. You want to call in and comment on the Dynamo tonight, 713-780-3776. We got a great night of Dynamo Sporting Kansas City playoff talk. Eddie Robinson will join me later. We'll get some thoughts from him. Stuart Holden, the former Dynamo, he's got a big celebrity match coming up here in Houston. We talked to Stuart a little bit later on in the show. Also, you'll hear from Leonardo. Interesting stuff from Leonardo, who, by the way, does this interview in English. He's excellent. Some interesting stuff there. AJ De La Garza, we know he's pretty much done for the season. That is the word. That's an injury that's going to keep him out. It's a real shame for him because he has been so important to the Dynamo in the right back position. And then we'll also have on the show the one and only Ricardo Clark. 10 years with the Houston Dynamo, year after year, so important in Major League Soccer. So if you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776. Yes, Manchester City was unbelievable this weekend. And all of you, you know, haters on Pep Guardiola, he's got them playing some immaculate, just eye-popping soccer right now. In the Premier League with Kevin De Bruyne and company. All right, let's switch back to the Houston Dynamo. 713-780-3776. Podcast is available at podcastarena.com and iTunes. And right now we started off Corey Repkin in studio tonight, beat writer for the Houston Chronicle. Matt Peterson will join us shortly. Also, Victor Ariza will join us shortly of Soccer Matters as well. So we're going to get a lot of talk in here tonight. You guys can participate, 713-780-3776. By the way, we threw the show together very quickly. We didn't have a lot of options because of the World Series tomorrow with the Astros and Los Angeles, with everybody so excited about that. This was the only time slot we could get before Thursday's game, and thankfully Jung and everybody here at ESPN 97.5 were able to get it done. So my thanks to everybody there, and it gives us an opportunity to promote the Houston Dynamo here in their playoff game. So, Corey, talk a little bit about what was achieved this year for the Houston Dynamo. Look, for me, it's already a giant win just getting to the playoffs.
Absolutely. You know, the team was so down the last 3 years. Just the fact that you know that they have hope now, and a new coach who is kind of working his way in and molding the product that he wants on the field, that's a huge step. In addition to that, you know, the fact that everyone talks about how they have an identity now. You know what you're going to get. You know, under Owen Coyle, you didn't have that. You know, in a Dominic Kinnear's last year, I think people saw that kind of fading. So the fact that you know what you're going to see every weekend now, and the fact that they have pretty good chance to score a lot of goals and be competitive, that's a big deal. And now that they have the foundation set, they've accomplished a playoff berth, it, you know, the sky's the limit going forward.
What's their identity to you?
You know, they're going to score goals. They're going to go out there. They're going to try to, you know, not necessarily outscore you to win games because they want to play defense too, but they're going to attack. You know, they don't care how they're going to attack. They're going to just go after it. And, you know, that's a big deal. You know, fans like it, especially when they're at home. And that's, you know, that's going to help them attract attacking talent from all over the world, you know, more than they could have in the past.
Corey Repkin, Houston Chronicle, and he's down there all the time at Dynamo Training. He may not actually see the training session, but he definitely does get to talk to some of the players. Matt Peterson joining us in studio here as well. You've heard me speak about it a tremendous amount of time, Matt, over and over. I probably sounded like a broken record the last couple of years, but, you know, some of the soccer we saw was not very appealing. And finally, we've got this product, an amazing job done by the Dynamo to revamp the roster. But are we seeing Major League Soccer a big shift now? I don't think people are very appreciative now of teams that sit back. They are expecting their teams in all these markets to come out, push the tempo to a degree, and provide an element of attack and entertainment.
I agree. I think I watched the game from the upper level, same vantage point as you on Sunday, but I was a spectator. And from up there, if you're not paying close attention to the game, Dynamo don't impress you. They're very organized defensively. They're doing the dirty work, but it's for four or five moments a game where they come to life, they counter well, and they score goals. And the last few games, they hadn't been as clinical in their finishing, but they pick their moments. They do it well. They have a formula for winning. I think someone said they are unbeaten in six, which is the longest streak in the West right now. They're winning games this year that the last few years they haven't won. They're the games that they blew in second half stoppage time. Wins turn into ties, ties turn into losses. So maybe some of the luck that went against them the last few years is swinging back their way. And I think they're just a smarter team in those critical moments.
Yeah, they do have good fortune. I don't think there's any question. I do think the rotation policy has been very interesting because, you know, for the first time in many years, myself as a play-by-play guy, I'm going, well, I'm not sure really what Wilmer's going to do. And it makes it very appealing. It makes it interesting. It is a team that at home problematic for opponents because you do get an Albert Elise and you do get a Ramel Kyoto who at times are going to cheat defensively. And it does pose questions for opponents. And I've talked to a lot of opposing coaches in MLS, Matt, and they've said it's a very difficult matchup for us.
I think Kansas City is going to go for it on Thursday. I really do. I think the way they played at home when they tied Dynamo 0-0, but Tyler Derrick had maybe the best game of his career, I think they're going to play the same way. I think they're going to use the Spanish left back, get him forward as much as they can. Zeus is going to push forward on the right. They've lost three straight knockout round games. What do they really have to lose? They fell from first to fifth in the West. Sitting back, going conservative against the Dynamo in Houston's not going to work. I think they're going to play it like a home game. They're going to look for the first goal. They're going to say, Dynamo, come from behind against us. I think it's going to be an aggressive Kansas City team with their outside backs pushing high. And I think that's how they think that they can negate Kyoto and Elise is by camping their outside backs as high as they can be.
Well, and if they cheat, they know how fast it can happen because those two guys are flyers, and that will be in the back of their mind. So that's going to be fascinating to see. That's good that you picked that wide matchup up because I think it's one that certainly, again, every game, when you've got these high-flying wingers, it makes it interesting. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Corey, that there is entertainment down there, and it is exciting. All right, speak to me about Tyler Derrick a little bit because he's certainly rounded into form. I don't think there's any question. He's done it at the right time. His last three games, to me, have been impeccable. I'm not worried about his shot stopping. I think that he's spectacular in that category. His decision-making and his stability and his judgment as a goalkeeper now is what really has stood out to me. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he got a wake-up call back in May when he got benched after they lost to New England. And he was just making all sorts of mistakes in all sorts of areas, distribution, decision-making, like you said. And that really woke him up, you know.
Well, that was a game he punched the ball, like, low right to somebody on New England,
yeah,
and they scored.
I think it was Fagundes. I might be wrong on that. But, yeah, I mean, it was
go
just
check your column.
Yeah, I will. I might Yeah, and so when he was sitting down being benched, he told me last week, you know, that kind of opened my eyes that, you know, I realized can't get too comfortable. And that was kind of the message Wilmer wanted to send. And it's a message he's been trying to send to everybody this season. You know, just because you're a starter doesn't mean you're going to start all the time. If these other guys are capable of doing the job, they're going to. And that benching kind of opened up Tyler's eyes to see, whoa, something needs to change.
By the way, Wilmer's an intelligent man, okay? He studied this team the last couple of years. He knows what's going on. He saw that there were certain players that would not have a good performance but still would be in the starting lineup. It repeated for a number of years in the past, and he knew he had to come in and create competition. So simply, Matt, by revamping this roster, and again, the way this roster was revamped is spectacular because of the personalities, the differing players, the appealing players. Overall team speed on this team was very poor coming into this year, and that's just been, I mean, they're in the top three teams in the league with just out-and-out explosiveness. So I think with all the mechanics in this league and player categories and all these crazy things that confuse all of us, let alone the people trying to make the decisions building rosters, it's been a spectacular roster overhaul.
Yeah, I think the Dynamo are easy to prepare for because you know what they're going to do, but they're difficult to prepare for because you don't know who's going to play. And I think the players may not know till Thursday, Friday, or Saturday who's going to play. It's an interesting dilemma come Thursday night. Who starts? Tomas Martinez didn't play. I think they rested him. Marmanota scored a spectacular goal. He and Kubo have been trading off. But if you're Kansas City, who do you prepare for as the center forward for the Dynamo? Difficult decision. I think Wilmer might go up until Thursday until he decides. Elise and Kyoto, you figure one of them's going to start. Maybe both, maybe not. I think that ace up his sleeve on the bench like he brought on Sunday is a nice thing that he's used kind of all year, basically since May. So I think preparing for the
Dynamo. You have Vicente Sanchez in that role too.
And you have Vicente Sanchez. So Dynamo have difference-making players that come off the bench because the lineup they put out isn't necessarily their best 11 player. So it keeps the players hungry. It keeps the opponent guessing. Keeps the broadcasters guessing. Keeps Corey guessing. Keeps the media. So it's a good problem. I think it sets up a very interesting situation on Thursday.
Bringing interest, and I don't think there's any question. This was the right hire for a manager. Now, the only thing Wilmer Cabrera hasn't done is figure the road out. Now, if they get past Sporting Kansas City, they're going to have to figure the road out, Corey. What do you think it is? And what is your sense from being down there amongst the players pre and post practice that is problematic on the road?
A lot of times you hear the players talk about how, well, if we knew, we wouldn't have these problems. But one thing that has stood out to me that A.J. De La Garza mentioned at some point is when you're playing at home, you're in your own bed, you're with your own friends and family, everything's familiar. When you're on the road, you might be spending all of game day in a hotel. I mean, who wants to do that? Maybe you go out and walk around. And
yeah. Come on, that comes with the territory being a professional athlete. Not to downplay what AJ's saying, but okay, so you're saying the lack of familiarity, but there are teams winning 4, 5, and 6 road games in the league, and it's got to get figured out at some point.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm not saying I agree that that's what it should be, but
that's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said, and that's really the only details I've ever heard that really stood out to me. That okay, well, maybe that makes sense. But you're right. I mean, no team that made the playoffs scored a higher percentage of their points at home than the Dynamo. You know, and if they weren't so good at home, you know, they're not in the playoffs, and they really need to figure out the road going forward.
Yeah, and I think all of us have all year long just said, you know, we reached the point in the season where we said, look, if the Dynamo were going to make the playoffs, they're going to do it based on their home record, and that's exactly what they did, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I think just soccer in general, the expectations are too low on the road. This whole axiom that a point on the road is a good thing has been around for too long, and I think it leads to diminished expectations. You go in there looking for a point, things don't go your way, you lose. You get a point, it's a good point, depending on who the opponent is. But I also think for the Dynamo, they haven't had a proven goal scorer, a DP level, David Villa, Robbie Keane, a player that's going to score 20 goals a season that gets you those road wins, that goes on the road when you don't play well, he pulls something out in the 85th minute to win you the game. Dynamo don't have that right now. They haven't had it in years. I think that's a part of it. They have a very good attack. They have very good players, But if the Dynamo had to have had to win a road game in Portland or Seattle in the playoffs, there's no one on the team that you say they're going to rely on this guy tonight. Joe has to score tonight for them to win. It's a collection of players, which is a good thing, but over 17 road games, maybe no one feels the burden of having to score.
Yeah, I think there's a letdown on the road for sure. But one thing, they have the team that sets up perfectly to play on the road against opponents that are going to come out and try to take the game to you. So I think it's I don't know what it is. If I knew, I'd bottle it and sell it to Atlanta United. Well, they attack on the road. We'll take a break here. Let me just tell you about Kings Court. The real soccer pub in Edo is Kings Court. It's right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins, corner of Walker and Hutchins, 13 TVs at Kings Court. Premier League matches, Dynamo matches, La Liga. Kings Court has 24 taps. El Batallon parties there pre and post game. Matt Peterson's been down there. Corey, have you been to Kings Court? Kings Court, yep. Corey, all the celebs go to Kings Court. Get over to Kings Court. KingsCourtTX.com. I'm going to go there after the game on Thursday when the Dynamo beats Sporting Kansas City. Go in there, say hello to Jay. We'll take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's a Bud Light break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Who knows? Maybe this is the moment they'll get a first goal. We're expecting a high tempo here with what is at stake and 64 degrees here. Hoisted into the box. It's flipped over the back post. And there is the first goal. The Dynamo have gotten off a long throw. And Leonardo will get his second of the year.
And our thanks to everybody who may be tuning in on Facebook Live. We appreciate that. It's our way of just kind of reminding you that we are on the air. For those of you who are tuning in on the internet highway, we are kind of localizing it tonight with the Dynamo in the playoffs, but we can talk some of the other playoffs, and we will before the evening's over. Is it deceptive, Matt? Matt Peterson in studio, Corey Repkin in studio, Victor Ariza as well. A little bit later on, Stuart Holden, Eddie Robinson. We'll also have Leonardo and Ricardo Clark from the Houston Dynamo. So it's a big night. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. You want to get down there live. If you're not going to get down there and you're going to barbecue, it is going to be a later kickoff. But we will have the game locally here in Houston on the Cube. And also the game can be watched on MLS Live as well. Is there anything deceptive about the Dynamo getting into the playoffs? Because let's face it, they struggled against Sporting Kansas City. They did take the points. They were timely, like you mentioned, Matt. But they were outplayed soccer-wise in those games. I mean, look, Tyler Derrick stood on his head. Is there anything maybe deceptive? Do we have to be careful about how we position the Chicago result?
Yeah, I think you do. I think the Dynamo don't seem drastically different than the team that was allowing goals about a month or two ago, right? Nothing looks fundamentally different. Maybe they're more tuned in. Maybe they're more engaged. Maybe they're more team defending. But sometimes it's just the luck of the ball rolls wide of the post. Your goalie comes up big. Other teams don't finish their chances. I think Dynamo have benefited from some shaky finishing from their opponents. But I will say, starting with that midweek Kansas City game, the team fight has been there. The collective spirit, when they're not playing well, they're still finding a way to get a result and fight for each other. So you don't know what's going to happen on Thursday, but I would not call this a defensive juggernaut that's gotten two straight shutouts in the last two games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tyler Derrick is hitting form at the right time. If we do a comparison with the goalkeeping situations, Sporting Kansas City has got to be really upset because of Tim Melia going down injured here, and I mean, at a most untimely time. So there's a lot that they have to overcome. Now, I know the manager, Peter Vermes, very well. He's going to have this team motivated and very prepared to play. That is important, though, because the Dynamo must get off to a good start in the playoffs, Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, you mean the goalkeeping? Is that what you're
talking
about?
No, I mean answering the bell, the opening kickoff. I mean,
oh yeah.
As we were saying in break, if you are not prepared, you can throw a one-game knockout out the door in the first 15 minutes. If you come out you know, not answering the bell and come out to passive and not engaged, ready to play.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think I trust Wilmer to get the team ready to go and do that. You know, like any long season, there have been some spots where you know, they didn't do that. And, you know, in September – I'm sorry, August and September when they lost 3 out of 4, they were down. And they were below the playoff line, and they knew that something needed to happen in order to get back into a good position. And, you know, give them credit, they did that. It's not going to look pretty all the time. You know, like Matt said, it's not a defensive juggernaut, but – you know, they scratch and claw. They find a way to block shots. They swarm to the loose balls in the box. And it's not always going to be perfect, but I think they figured out a way that works for them. And if they can keep that going, I think they're going to have a great chance on Thursday.
I'm actually going to contend you on that. I think this team is a very solid defending team. I think the center back position has been upgraded remarkably with Leonardo and Machado. I think A.J. De La Garza, sadly, who's going to miss out. Mm-hmm. It's been another incredible signing. I mean, these guys to me are men at the back. They're guys, and that's not any slam on anything else. But these guys to me are very hardened, true professionals. They go about their business very seriously. That emanates from them when they walk onto the field and come out at that tunnel at BBVA Compass Stadium. They're true pros. They've been winners. Machado with Saprissa in Costa Rica. Machado's mm-hmm. going to the World Cup. De La Garza and Leonardo have won World Cups. You got DeMarcus Beasley, another true pro. Mm-hmm. And I think Dylan Remick is the future at the left-back position, who also has been very solid. So, you know, the most consistency has come from the goalkeeping position, the back four, and Cabezas. After that, it's really a toss-up. But I think as much as we talk about at least Kyoto and the Dynamo going the other way, I think it is a very solid defending team.
Yeah, it's a solid defending team. I'm just saying, you asked, is it a cautionary tale the last few games? Nikolic's ball hits the corner of the goal frame and stays out. I still don't know how that doesn't go in. The last three games of the season, they allowed one goal against Kansas City. There was some fortune there. I mean, it could have been 3 or 4.
Well, I was really talking more from the perspective of being outplayed overall.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Being outplayed overall. Yeah. I mean, Sporting was the better soccer, quote-unquote, soccer team in those games.
Yeah.
The Dynamo were better at getting results.
Well, the interesting thing is, what does Peter Vermes do? Benny Failhaber didn't start on Sunday, which is a little bit strange. They played Ilya Sanchez, Roger Espinosa, and Jimmy Madronda. So all veterans, players that are there. They put Sinovic in over Lobato. They went Shallowy, Rubio, and Blessing up front. So they're similar to the Dynamo in their front six. They have a few different options they can use. So we don't know what players he's going to use on Thursday. It is interesting, the goalkeeping situation. They asked about Melia. He said it's day-to-day. We're going to not know until Thursday. Not a big vote of confidence to Dykstra, the starter, basically saying, like, the main guy, they're going to wait to the last minute to decide, which is fine. Dykstra knows Melia's had a great season. But
who knows? Yeah. I mean, it could be gamesmanship. You don't know. Or if he does come back and he is really at a place where they think he can contribute, that could be a major boost for Sporting mm-hmm. Kansas City.
I think mentally the Dynamo are in a much better place than Kansas City. Kansas City was looking at a number one seed or a two seed, and then they really blew it. And then they have Beasler and Zusi on the U.S. national team. They had to deal with the devastation in Trinidad and come back. I think it's a vulnerable team. I still think they're going to go out and throw caution in the wind and go for it. My question for you guys is, what do you think the Dynamo do without AJ De La Garza? Do they go with Ani Bobbitt right back or bring Beasley and Remick in and put one of those two at right back where De La Garza normally plays?
Pattern during the year was DeMarcus to the right back position and to the left back position, you know, Dylan Remick keeping him there. And Dylan Remick has been outstanding because it is not easy as a player to come in and out at select times based on when a manager wants to use you or somebody else is going off. I think he has had an outstanding season with his limited time. I think he's answered the bell for the Dynamo every time. And then, you know, in the back of our minds, maybe we're going, hey, Jahlil Ani Bonaba did okay against David Akam.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to – first of all, yes, Dylan's been fantastic, especially when you consider they got him in the reentry draft. I mean, Seattle's like, we don't want you. And Dynamo are like, yeah, come on in. I mean, that'd be great. And you look at the fact that how well he's done. Let's say they hadn't gotten Beasley in the offseason. I mean, maybe Dylan has, you know, been just as good. But as for right back, I think it's going to come down to Ani Bobba or Kevin Garcia. And several times this season, Wilmer has picked Kevin Garcia – either as his top sub there or to start. He started that game against San Jose, that first San Jose game back at home, when they were really shipping goals and they needed a little more sturdiness back there. He went with the 4-4-2. He picked Kevin Garcia to take AJ's spot. So I don't think you can rule out Kevin as a starter at right back. In fact, I think he might be the top choice because, you know, Beasley and Rimmick are both left-footed. So I think it comes down to, Garcia or Andy Baba there at right back.
I disagree, respectfully. I think Kevin Garcia was not in the 18 on Sunday. Kevin Garcia has been used in select games throughout the season strategically, but I think in a one-off game, you don't take a flyer with Kevin Garcia. I think he's going to go with Andy Baba or Beasley. The fact that he's left-footed, he's good with both of his feet. I think
his experience, too. I mean, his intelligence. I mean, he can handle that.
Yeah, especially Kansas City, because if you think of the second game Sunday, Lobato had so many chances out there. It's a critical spot on the field for the Dynamo. De La Garza did his best against him, but I think it's one of the biggest spots on the field for the Dynamo on Thursday night is their right back position. Maybe I'm wrong. You're out there every day, but I'd be shocked if Kevin Garcia starts.
Let's just roll the third goal the Dynamo scored here. Now, remember, this was Alex in midfield. Did something very special, guys, and I know you guys both saw it, where he flicks the ball to himself and then with the outside of his foot hits a wide-open Andrew Wenger, who then hits a beautiful piece of delivery, and Manotas gets a tap in after making the good run at the last at the far post. So let's just take a listen. Here's what it sounded like on the Cube.
Alexander silently having a very good game here today.
He has.
Which is usually the way he does it. What a flick! To release Andrew Wenger from Alex. Wenger bends it in! It's 3-0! Oh, Benotis! He will redirect it in. He will get his 10th of the year. The Dynamo are rolling towards the playoffs on a real high now. It is 3-0.
Now, out of all the goals they scored in this game, that one to me is a confidence-building goal because of the team nature of it, the open play nature of it, the involvement of a couple of guys. To me, that was one of the things that I would wrap my arms around if I'm saying, hey, if I want to get confident going into Thursday against Sporting Kansas City, it's that type of goal that can really kind of lift the team from an attacking perspective.
Yeah, it is. And I think it could be a reason to start Mauro Manotas on Thursday night. Again, we go to these selection dilemmas. Mauro Manotas has had success against Kansas City his whole career. His first MLS goal in Kansas City. He scored twice in the Open Cup last year to beat them in a knockout phase. Kubo Torres, team leading goal scorer. But I think in this individual matchup, he scored on the weekend. Go with the hot hand. Go with the guy that has scored against this team that knows Matt Beisler, knows Aiko Parra, knows these center backs and has success against him.
Absolutely. I think Kubo is a guaranteed start. I don't think he would have sat Sunday without knowing he was going to start Thursday. But I think if you pick him between Kyoto and Manotas to start on the other wing opposite Elise, I think you got to go with Manotas for all the reasons you said. I mean, he's playing well. Bring Kyoto off the bench. What a great card to have up your sleeve.
Yeah, and would you guys agree Manotas is just more diligent defensively than Kyoto? I mean, it's part of Kyoto's game to cheat, like you talked about, Glenn, but in a one-game playoff where the margin's so thin, you get a little more defensively out of Manotas?
Depends how you want to look at it. It depends on you want to be proactive and you want to play those two guys and really make them think about you and really try and hit them early. But, you know, the ability to have one of them coming off the bench is nice. I think Vicente Sanchez can fill that role as well to change the game. But Kyoto or Elise off the bench are definitely guys that can stir a game up. I don't think there's any question, let alone bring the entertainment value.
The other one is Eric Alexander or Tomas Martinez. You mentioned the quietly good game Eric Alexander had. He's come on here late. Tomas Martinez has been scoring and then not playing. They've really managed his minutes. That's another decision because I would think Ricardo Clark and Cabezas are probably going to start. You also have Alex Lima. So it's probably Lima, Alexander, and Tomas Martinez. Two of those are probably on the outside looking in.
Well, I think it comes down to either Alex or Tomas Martinez because it needs to be an attacking guy if we're assuming that it's going to be Rico and Cabezas. And – So there's a good question, Corey, because Alex, I think, comes off and needed a good game at this point to lift everybody and himself. And we know he's also a guy that from a sort of an emotional perspective can lift this team, not to mention brings a whole bunch of great ideas on the ball. So do you play Alex or do you play Tomas Martinez?
I think it's going to be Tomas. I think we've seen several times in the last few months. I mean, Tomas is a starter on this team. I think he was rested on.
Who's a starter on them? Nobody's a starter unless you're a defender, a goalkeeper, or Juan David Cabezas. Nobody's a quote-unquote starter, in my opinion.
I know what you're saying, but I think when you consider which players can start which positions, I think Wilmer has decided Tomas is ahead of Alex in that attacking midfield position at this point. And I think the idea of resting Tomas on Sunday was to have him play Thursday. Same with Rico Clark. I think the midfield you're going to see is Cabezas, Rico, and Tomas Martinez.
One would think that based on, you know, obviously based on the guys being rested. But I think it's also a good sign that Alex is ready because, look, if you do advance, these games come very quickly. Alex also can fill the role that you guys said about a guy that can come off the bench and bring some additional energy, and maybe that does give you the ability then to probably start an Elise and a Kyoto because you have him sort of as an ace up the sleeve.
Well, the other thing to think about is extra time. I mean, this is a one-game playoff. It's not a regular season game, and the way they've played against Kansas City over the years, good chance this game 0-0 or 1-1 in the 60th minute. You bring on an Alex or Kyoto, good chance they're going 60 minutes. So I think the subs are almost more important in this game. And if you're bringing on Vicente Sanchez, Minotas, Elise, Tomas, any of those attacking players, Alex Lima, you have some really good weapons off the bench.
All right, let's talk about some of the other things around Major League Soccer. We had decision day on Sunday, all 11 teams, 22 games, all I mean 11 games, 22 teams, all playing at the same time. What jumped out to you on the day, Corey?
I think the fact that that's a tough question. How about San Jose? I mean, they concede the late goal and they're out of the playoffs, and then they come right back and they score again. And what was it, the 88th or 89th minute? I mean, that says a lot about a team, you know, that hasn't had a whole lot going for them this season. I mean, they had the coaching change and, you know, the new coach has kind of gotten them on the right track. But, I mean, just to have the wherewithal to know that, hey, we got to get something done in the last minute and to actually do it, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, it was Marco Aranha.
And I guess you can't forget the way that FC Dallas finally played a great game when it almost didn't matter.
I think for me, the West is wide open. This is a very good year for the Dynamo to be in the playoffs. Very good year to have a home game. I think Portland is the favorite in the West. They have the best player in the West, and Valeri is coming off the best season. They have one of the best home fields. They have home field advantage. If I had to pick a team to win the West, it'd be Portland. But I think the margins are very thin. Dynamo could go all the way to the Western Conference Final or to MLS Cup. I think it's that wide open.
Eastern Conference, how do you see New York City FC? Toronto FC, obviously for me, has to be the favorite to win the MLS Cup. I think the only way they get derailed is if they derail themselves.
Yeah, I think the Stars in the East are going to carry those teams. I think NYC is going to be led by Villa. They're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Final. Toronto's going to be there. It's going to be another slugfest. I'd expect Toronto to get through, but you never know. It seems like the top seeds go out in the MLS Cup playoffs.
So we got Vancouver, San Jose. I'm going Vancouver. You guys, real quick?
Yes, Vancouver.
Okay, I got Houston over Sporting Kansas City. You guys?
Dynamo.
We all homers?
Yep.
Okay. Chicago, New York Red Bulls. I'm going to, even though this is in Chicago, I'm picking a New York Red Bull upset.
I'm going to say Chicago.
I like Chicago, too.
Okay, and then Atlanta and Columbus. That's a good one. I'm picking Atlanta.
I'm going to say Atlanta. 70,000 fans, they'll get it done.
Yeah, Atlanta. How can you pick against Atlanta at home?
Tata Martino, well, for you know why? Because I thought the game was Columbus. That's why. So that's how you pick against them. No, at home, it's Atlanta, one of the most entertaining teams, great for Major League Soccer. And, they're claiming there's going to be like 50,000 midweek for that.
Maybe 70. They're opening
the
whole stadium.
Are they saying 70 now?
Yeah. They're opening the whole stadium.
Yeah, so here's another beautiful thing. We're blowing away that theory that you can't draw fans during the week. Thank you very much for that, Atlanta. Anything else jump out to you, individual players?
Yeah, I think Elise and Kyoto across the West have to be two of the most intimidating players in these playoffs. I think no one wants to play the Dynamo for those two reasons.
That's why I want to see him in the starting lineup on Thursday night. Come on. We want the drama, the entertainment. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. My thanks to Houston Chronicle writer Corey Repkin. Now that I know you live near the studio, we're going to bring you in more often, Corey. Okay,
good.
Matt? Matt Peterson, you hear him doing play-by-play. He's stepped in for me a couple times beautifully on Dynamo broadcasts this year. Matt, thank you very much for coming in studio. Victor Ariza, getting it all done here. Our thanks again. Stuart Holden, Ricardo Clark, all the guys that came on earlier on the show. We appreciate all of our guests. Also, Leonardo, he was involved as well. For Tyler Scott, we'll take a quick break here. We got more to come here, more good interviews coming up. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Kyoto. He's got Manotas in front of him. Manotas has run himself into an offside position. It's Kyoto. He is a one-minute show. It's going to go in. Roberto Kyoto. It is a blunder of massive performances in goal from Richard Sanchez. Romel Kyoto did not look a favorite to score this goal.
Goal number 7 of the year for Kyoto.
Pace and power, and it looks like Richard Sanchez.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Let me tell you about Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks and in West App shopping. Stylists at Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for all my TV work, and believe me, that is not easy for anyone. Azure Salon, the place to go, guys. You can get your haircuts at Azure Salon. Ladies, they've got you covered with color cuts extensions. AzureSalon.com. It's A-Z-U-R Salon.com. Also, a quick reminder here for the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Get over there, see my good friend Peter. That's an Irish pub with an Irish feel. Liverpool supporters group hangs up over there. Dynamo Games are on the tube over there. The game's on the cube. Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Catch all the best soccer and football matches there. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings are outstanding. And say hello to my friend Peter. It's the Gorgeous Gale. Open field, monitors, outdoor patio. Gorgeous Gale, the place to be. And with the weather getting good, that outdoor patio is looking good these days. Steak nights over there, you name it, they have it. TheGorgeousGale.com, an official Soccer Matters pub. Say hello to Peter. With that, I bring in former Dynamo defender. He's also the color analyst on Cube broadcasts of the Houston Dynamo. You'll catch him on Thursday night alongside me and the one and only Cindy Bourbano. He's Eddie Robinson. Eddie, thanks for coming on the show.
What do you say, Glenn? I love being on here with you.
It's good fun. So let's start off, first of all, Wilmer Cabrera set out a plan. Resting players, doing the rotation policy. Also wanted to get the result, to get the home field advantage, which we know the road has not been kind to the Dynamo, and they really have not figured that out. So, you know, he really came through with flying colors in getting everything that he wanted out of that game yesterday with the Dynamo beating Chicago 3-0.
He did, and it's no secret. I was skeptical. I thought that he was risking the opportunity of a home game to rest guys that he needed to secure a home game in the playoffs. As you just mentioned, the Dynamo have been outstanding at home and abysmal on the road. And if they want to advance, they need at least one home game, especially in the knockout round to do it. I was proved wrong. I don't think Chicago showed up. I think they were a team that was uninspired and almost miserable at times. And the Dynamo took complete advantage of that. The weather was beautiful. The crowd was amazing. The players knew what they had to do. And this is the first time in 3 years that we get to say the Dynamo are in the playoffs, Glenn.
Yeah, and I think, you know, before anything even happens on Thursday night, that in itself, that they're back in the playoffs, this is already a step forward. Everything now is cherry on the cake and icing on the cake. But the flip side of that is this is MLS. Anything can happen in the playoffs. We've seen it happen with Dynamo teams in the past. You can go on a roll. You can go in confident. But when I look at that Chicago game,
and it was a solid game for the Dynamo. They also got their attack going a little bit. They're going to have to play. They can't play that game against Sporting Kansas City. It's going to have to be another notch up.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I've had a couple of people ask me today, what do I think the lineup's going to look like? I'm going to tell you right now, if Albert Elise and Romel Kyoto aren't on the wings, with the way these guys have played, not just for the Dynamo this year, but for Honduras, how dangerous they've been, the goals they've scored, I mean, I'll be dumbfounded. And I truly believe, with as many goals as Eric Torres has scored this year, honestly, I think Mara Minotis has earned the start in this playoff game at that number nine. Now, there can be a little speculation about what three guys start midfield. I think it should be Ricardo Clark and Juan David Cabezas. I think against Chicago, Alex Lima kind of made his case to start. I think over the last month and a half, Vicente Sanchez has made his case to start. And let's don't forget about Tomas Martinez. I mean, we always talk about an embarrassment of riches, but if the Dynamo do win this game, talking to some of the people in the Dynamo front office, the tentative schedule could be Wednesday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday. They're going to need their depth. So whoever Wilmer Cabrera decides to put out there on Thursday night against Kansas City, a couple things they're going to have to do. They're going to have to keep possession. They cannot give away the ball silly in midfield. And they must figure out a way to defend Graham Zusi, the right back, and whoever they decide to put at left back. Last game, it was Lobato. Those guys had too much time and space. If the Dynamo can do those things, I think they are the favorites. If they don't, it's going to be a tough, tough night.
You know, I'm going to take it a step further. I think the Dynamo are going to win on Thursday. I think they're going to advance. And here's my theory on this, Eddie, and I don't know what you think, but it's just my theory. So first of all, Sporting Kansas City was the number one defending team in the league with Tim Melia in goal. Tim Melia is out. So there is a little psychological going on there with that. They win a lot of games close. They don't score a lot of goals. And I love those three strikers they have, Latif Blessing, Shalawi, Rubio. These guys are all talented players.
Oh, hey, don't forget about Gerson Hernandez.
Who is the guy? Gerson. Yeah, and so Gerson's the fourth one. They're all mobile. They're all quick. I don't think any of them, to me, are exceptional killer ice-cold finishers. And with the way Tyler Derrick's playing, I think the ball looks like a beach ball to him. Okay?
Yeah.
He's in the zone. So I honestly think that this game will be a lot of Sporting Kansas City with the ball. I like your comment about, yes, you cannot give silly unforced errors away in midfield leading to counterattacks and things like that. But I think Sporting's going to have 60% of the possession, 64% of the possession. But the Dynamo are going to be ridiculously dangerous on the counter with Elise and Kyoto. And they are going to really make Sporting think, because – yes, they do cheat sometimes defensively, but that forces you to react to them. So I'm predicting a Dynamo win on Thursday, and I'm thinking it's going to kind of unfold like that.
Listen, I'd love to see that. I don't want to jinx them. I believe in the curse of the commentator. But I mean, listen, what you just described is basically every Dynamo.
Hey, wait a second. I'm feeling good. I called the long throw-in, and you know, I said this is going to be it.
You said they never finally scored a long throw-in, so it was a reverse jinx. It's still a jinx, Clint.
I know. Your daughter would have said jinx to me if I was at your house when I made that comment.
Look, what you just described is every Dynamo game this year. They give up 60% or more of possession, but they counterattack. Now, the problem, especially on the road, is giving away possession in silly places and giving teams goals, gifting goals, making silly mistakes that they don't make at home, which is why I am optimistic that they are playing Kansas City at home, that they will get the job done. But I stand by it. They must keep possession. They cannot gift Kansas City anything. If they don't, I think they'll get their goals. I think Tyler Derrick's going to be brilliant. I think that back four, even though it looks like A.J. De La Garza is going to be out,
I still think the Dynamo back four is going to be brilliant. Cabezas and Clark are going to be brilliant. The front four will get their goals. I guarantee you we'll obviously see Vicente Sanchez in some capacity. I do. I agree with you that I think the Dynamo are going to win. I think it depends on that midfield and how they possess the ball, of whether it's going to be a rough night or whether it's going to be a comfortable night. And there really are very few comfortable nights against Kansas City. But if the Dynamo get their best 11 on the field and they play the best soccer they're capable of for 90 minutes, this team's not only going to beat Kansas City, but they're going to take it to either Portland or Seattle, and they're going to frustrate some people in the MLS Cup.
Yeah, they can't play the same game they played against Chicago. By the way, they didn't pass the ball well in the first 45 minutes. I know they went up 2 minutes in, but you and I were looking at each other like there were quite a few unforced errors. So that has to certainly be cleaned up. And I think on the counter, they've got to be clinical. You know, we've seen this team break out a ton of times at home and really provide danger. But this is where it gets magnified now in the playoffs. And, you know, you get these chances, you've got to take them. You know, it's very interesting because, you know, there is Alex coming off a very good game and logging a lot of minutes, his best game in a long time. There is a fresh Tomas Martinez. I do like this year the fact that we've really been left guessing more than we ever have our entire time working together as a broadcasting team as to what the lineup would be. And we've been surprised this year, too, but it's made it very interesting.
Well, yeah, let's shoot back to Chicago real quick. And you and I, after the game, after the broadcast was over, we were cleaning up our stuff in the booth, and you mentioned to me, how about Albert Elise when he came on? It was like he was shot out of a rocket. And I believe that that's because he was not happy that he wasn't starting that game. I can tell you right now that however Wilmer Cabrera told him, whether it was in his office or his locker room, Albert Elise wasn't happy. And I think his play and his attitude when he stepped on the field showed that. We can only hope that every player in the Dynamo 8 team on Thursday night feels that way, because I would be shocked if Wilmer Cabrera doesn't use all three subs, seeing how the playoff, the schedule is going to play out. So guys are going to get chances. So if you're not starting, it's okay. You're going to have a chance to make an impact. So be ready.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And there was a report that I heard that he was not happy about not playing. And that's very healthy, quite frankly. That's not something...
I love it.
That's why wouldn't you want your striker not to be happy? And this guy's 21 years old. He has been the Dynamo's hottest striker. You know, I'll put my house on it right now. He's in the starting lineup on Thursday. And I think you would put yours on it as well. And this guy has electrified people, and he is incredibly motivated. He's insatiable to score goals. And I think between him and Kyoto, and if it's Minotas who gets the start, or does Kubo Torres get the start, either way, it's going to be a good one. Eddie, listen, we're looking forward to calling this one on Thursday. We're going to have a great time doing it. We're looking forward to a Dynamo win, and as always, thank you for coming on the show and bringing your insight.
I appreciate you having me on. Have a wonderful evening.
All right, that's Eddie Robinson. Again, the Dynamo on the Cube this Thursday night. Join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and I. Quick moment here for the Flat in Houston. Now, the Flat is my buddy's place, DJ son, Andre. And they have the best frozen mojitos. It's the Flat. It's 1701 Commonwealth Street, Houston. It's in the Montrose area, theflathouston.com. Go over to their website, check it out. They've always got great DJs in there. DJ Sun also DJs himself. And every week, he reminds me that their frozen mojitos are a must. And those who love cocktails, you're going to love the frozen mojitos over there. Now, he also, each and every week, gives us our pick for DJ Sun's musical pick of the week. And tonight it's Thievery Corporation, a song called The Temple of I and I. And by the way, they're performing at the House of Blues tonight, Thievery Corporation. Great band. I'm going to head down there after the show to catch that. But that is the FlatHouston.com. That is the FlatHouston.com DJ Sun Pick of the Week. Thievery Corporation, The Temple of I and I. They're performing tonight at the House of Blues as well. We'll take a break. More to come.